There's people that say and there's people that do, and one of the reasons that I've always respected immensely Kent Nonstad from Partial North Dakota is he's one that does. I mean, he really is. He's always been that. He's the House Minority Leader, and he set up a panel where they're going to get into and do a legislative field hearing on the Tioga oil spill. They want to know what happened, and they want to know what's going on here. And they're not. They've been calling for it. In fairness to Kenton, don't just sit here and say, "Well, geez, he's just being a politician and a reactionary." I'm going to say this before I'm going to bring Kenton on air. They tried doing something about this legislatively before it ever happened. Period. Plain and simple. They tried putting forth legislation. And they tried doing something to make sure that the states and people's land was protected. And so now they're holding field hearings. It's going to be held tomorrow at 2 p.m. To 4 p.m. Central Time to discuss what happened in Tioga. And I wanted Kenton to come on and explain what the goals of this meeting are. Representative Onstead, good to have you on News and Views.
Good morning, Joel. Happy to be there.
Now, talk to me about this. What prompted you and John Warner and Marvin Nelson to say, you know what, we're going to do this. We're going to hold a meeting on this.
Well, first of all, you have landowners that are concerned about the safety and integrity of pipelines in the future. You know, it was poorly handled, and as far as notification goes, and so on, and people want to know really who's actually in charge. You know, what are the current safety requirements and monitoring that's currently with a pipeline, and are they really being enforced? Where, you know, you would think that the state was in charge, and really it's the National Transportation Safety Board, and they have their own division, the Pipeline and Hazardous Material Division. They're really in charge of investigating this pipeline, and should the state have more oversight? I guess those are the questions that landowners are asking me, and I'd like to know myself.
You have a panel, if you will, of some people that know the game. Lynn Helms is part of this. Dave Glott is part of this. Walk me through who you invited and why you invited them, Kenton.
Well, we invited PHMSA, Pipeline Hazard Material Safety Division, because they are investigating the current oil spill that's up there. So we invited them and to explain what currently do you require of pipelines. It's a little disturbing to find out that they consider Western North Dakota as a remote and rural areas. They might have less stringent requirements than, say, if it gets closer to a larger community, Bismarck, Grand Forks, and so on. To me, and also to landowners, that's pretty disturbing that it's like this is not as important out here than in there. And so that's part of it. And we're just trying to take the initiative to hold a hearing that builds accountability and also builds trust for the future.
Here's the problem I've had with this, Kenton. You've got John Berger with Tesoro Logistics. This was a Tesoro pipeline that leaked. You've got Dave Glott with the North Dakota Department of Health and Environmental Health Section. You've got Lynn Helms with the North Dakota Industrial Commission Oil and Gas Division. You've got Troy Coons with Northwest Landowners Association. Robert Grant with Northwest Landowners Association, a group that has been very vocal about how they want to retain their life and their lifestyle in the midst of what is a great big oil boom. Don Morrison will be there with the Dakota Resource Council, and Don Longmuir, the Montreal County Emergency Services, will be there as well. I want to ask you this. Is this condoned by legislative council, or is this an action that you, someone representing that area, and others such as John Warner and others concerned, like Marvin Nelson, that you just took upon yourself and said, no, we're going to get to the bottom of this?
Well, you know, we live here, and Marvin Nelson, being from Raleigh, he's close in that Bonneville area, and he hears those landowner concerns. Senator Warner and I, we hear landowner concerns out here, and moving forward that they want to be for development, but where's the accountability of what's going on? And where's going to be the next incident? Is it going to be on my property? You know, and they look at it and says, you know, this has really been good for the state, but I'm not sure I want it. And the trouble that we have is out here in the West who have to live and deal with this on a daily, and you go to Bismarck, and they kind of throw up open hands as well. We don't want to burden the industry, or we don't think it's this is necessary. That's frustrating, and that's frustrating back here in Western North Dakota.
You know, I mentioned at the start of our conversation today that this isn't just reactionary by you. You and others, and there have been people from both sides of the aisle that felt the need to do more in the area of, everybody hates the word regulation. I'll use the word protection. Kenton, this is something that you've looked at in the past in terms of what the state's role has been.
You know, the different land groups, the Dunn County Group and the Northwest Landowners Group, they form because they're not against the development. They want to get information out and what their concerns are moving forward. Saltwater spills, they've been occurring all the time, and they have been for years. So they look at the frustration. Is this is what we're going to see when there's 40,000 wells out here? Reoccurring spills and breakdowns of pipe and so on. So they move forward and says, you know, we don't want this to happen because we're representing surface owners and mineral owners. We don't want this to happen. And so we're proposing, well, you put in low-pressure switches, automatic shutoffs on these pipelines to kind of help monitor and regulate all this that's going on out here. And it was disappointing that Oil and Gas Division opposed that. And it's frustrating. So now here we are.
Well, but that goes to what, as I tried to dig into this, what I found was, and Brian Koch was one of the first people to call me on this, and he said, we oversee the siting, we approve the siting, and then we're out of it, Joel. And so he was upset because he was like, look, you know, he wasn't trying to do the don't blame us. What he was trying to say was there's a real lack of how you go about making sure somebody is doing what you just described. And how the state of North Dakota knew and knows that this is in their, you know, we want more control locally. We always push for more control locally, and yet we don't have anyone really overseeing this and making sure that the monitoring, that the safety is put in place, that the mechanism is put in place. And so if we did do it, it's seen as over-regulating the industry and not being helpful to the industry, when in fact, if some of what you've just described had been put in place, you would have saved the industry millions of dollars, Kenton. And so it begs this question. Have you spoke to the governor? I know the governor is putting a task force together, and I'm not convinced that the governor is the problem with all this as much as what I've convinced that some of the more conservative members of the legislature are.
Well, you know, I'm glad that the governor is trying to follow through on all this, but it's been frustrating with his administration. Previous administrations have been more reactive than proactive, and it's a part of moving forward. Let's be proactive. We want to engage this, and we know it's been wonderful for the state of North Dakota, but it's a little bit about accountability and trust back to those surface owners who are really the ones that are affected.
Do you think the surface owners even know that nobody's overseeing it?
Well, they know that somebody is overseeing it, but it's...
Well, who is?
It seems to be loosely controlled.
No, but I would argue who is. You know, you said oil and gas. So Lynn Helms and those people opposed the legislation. They came in and made the argument that you're being burdensome to the industry. The Public Service Commission said, you know what, once we approve it, it doesn't have anything to do with us. So really, the only people that oversee it or have a regulatory role in it deal with it once the leak has already occurred, and that is the North Dakota Health Department. So the Health Department gets blamed once we've already got the Jed Clampett situation going on. You know, so the Health Department is doing all of that. I mean, I don't know that anyone in North Dakota can go back and say, we oversee the safety of these, or we'll even lay claim to that, Kenton. And if nothing else comes out of your meeting today, I hope that comes out.
Well, it's, you know, the point is that we had an oil spill. We've had salt water spill and so on. And it's, and are we getting to the bottom of that? When was the last time that you saw an actual report, the cause of a saltwater spill that occurred in July up by Antler, North Dakota? Did we ever see a report of that? So how do we know, is it getting fixed? Is the problem being solved? None of that goes forward. And so we're going to find out, you know, yeah, we got a problem. And what's the best way to fix it? And so it's a reason for the public is going to get the way in. These agencies that are directly involved, they get their chance to say, you know, how do we correct this problem, move forward? And the ultimate goal is really is talk about integrity and safety of the future of the pipelines. You know, you want this to go forward. And right now I got landowners out there said, you know, I don't care to ever have a pipeline on my property if this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
We want everybody to feel that this is secure and monitored. So is there holes? Definitely, and we got to plug those holes. And if it's make sure that we enforce the current rules that we have, or do we have to create some other initiatives to monitor it?
This is going to be held tomorrow, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Central Time in the Montreal County South Complex in Stanley, right, North Dakota. Yep. Is the public available to, are they open to come into this and take part in this?
Absolutely. It's a public hearing. We encourage the public to attend. There's an opportunity for them to ask questions and provide comments. And so these same agencies can hear what individual thoughts are, you know, and truly, we're having it in Stanley, the heart of a lot of this activity, and, you know, get the people to weigh in, and that's the way we create the process, is get the public involved. You know?
Well, and that's what it should be. So,
is it a populist approach? I'm not sure, but the public want to know, and you know, currently it's kind of comments and stuff that comes out of the state and so on are somewhat controlled, and I think the public wants to hear yeah, it firsthand.
Kenton, thanks for doing this. I hope we get some people out to your hearing. I think it's important what you're doing, and in the end, I hope the next legislative session actually gives us someone that when a pipeline leaks, we can go to and say, what happened here? Weren't you in charge of making sure that the measures were in place so that this didn't happen to us? So thanks for holding the hearing, and I appreciate you coming on News and Views.
Okay, thank you, and hope to see everybody there tomorrow.
You bet. Kenton Onsted, state representative from Partial, North Dakota, and the minority leader of the North Dakota House. Let's go find Terry Spees, find out what's going on in our weather forecast out there. I'm hearing the word.